We begin the current daf Masechet Ksubos daf Nun. We begin on the third line down at the top of the Amud. The Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf. That is, our previous Mishnah had said that a father has no obligation to feed his children, specifically his daughter, when he's still alive. However, Rabbi Eloi had brought the first of his three statements that were Takanas Usha, that were institutes, that institutions from the Beis Din when they were in Usha, that a father should feed his young children. Now, that the Gemara continues with the third of his three statements. Amr Beloy says, Ba'usha Eskinu, another takana that they made in Usha was Hamavazviz. If someone disperses, bizbiz usually is a term of like throwing out, spending a lot. So if someone spends a lot of money on the poor people, and he gives a lot of charity, Al Yavazviz Yesim Bechemish. He shouldn't spend more than a fifth of his assets so that he shouldn't become poor, and then he'll have to go ahead and collect tzedakah. So if you're going to give a lot, but don't give more than a fifth of one's estate. Tanya Hoch is similar in the Braisa. Someone that spends a lot of money on charity should not give more than a fifth. Shemit Tzarech Labris, because then maybe he himself might have to come out to other people. Now, actually, there was an incident with a certain person that wanted to give a charity more than a fifth of his money. His friend didn't let him because of this halacha. Umane, who is that friend? That was Rabbi Shevav. And some that actually say it was Rabbi Shevav that wanted to spend more than a fifth. And his friend didn't let him. Umani, who was that? That was Rabbi Kiva. Now, Amr of Nachman, says, Vite Mesim says, Ravach Bayakim that said, that Micro, what's the pasuk that's the source for this, that one should not give to Hashem for tzedakah more than a fifth? That's the pasuk in Bereishis, where Yaakov promises, he says, whatever you're going to give to me, Asar Asrenalach, I'm going to give a tenth to you. Now it says two times. What is that? That's two tenths. Two tenths is a fifth. Basic math. Now that the Gemara actually asked, but v'holei dami isura basuli isura kam. It's not true. You can't compare the second tithe to the first times you're taking a tenth. Because when you, let's say you have that 100, or let's say you have 10, which if you're taking a tenth, you take off one, you're left with 9. Now when you take a tenth from 9, that's not going to be the same as taking a tenth from 10. And therefore, a tenth of 9 is not going to be 1, it's going to be less than. Because now you're going to have 9, you're taking a tenth of 9, it's going to be already a decimal point. So there the Gemara is asking, it actually doesn't come out to a fifth. So why does the Gemara say that the source for a fifth is from Asa Asrenu? So the Amar Ravashi says Asrenu. From the fact that it doesn't say Aser Aserlach, rather it's saying Asrenu, meaning it's coming to say labastra ki kama. It's saying that the second meiser will be exactly like the first meiser. So if let's say there's 10, a tenth of 10 is 1. That's what he's saying, that I'm going to take a second tenth, a second tithe, not of what's left, but exactly like the first one. Asra nu, whatever it is that I have, I'm going to take off a tenth of the second one like the first one, and therefore it will be a fifth of one's assets. Now I'm assuming by Ashi, he says, Ushmuz halalu. These statements of Rabbi Eloi that he spoke about, the takanas of Usha, which we had spoken about two of them on the previous daf and one on this daf, mismatis v'holches, they keep on diminishing the amount of amayrom that are mentioned in each statement. In other words, the first halacha that he had said on the previous daf was Amr Beloi, Amr Shlokish, in the name of Rehuda Bar Chanina. The second takana that he mentioned was Rabbi Eloi, Amr Shlokish, only two. The third one that we mentioned on this daf was only Rabbi Eloi himself. He didn't mention it in the name of Rish Lakish. So, b'samanaich, and a mnemonic to remember the order of these halachas so that you can know what is the order of their diminishment of who is it that's saying in the name of who, that there was three, then two, then one, is the order of ketanim, minors, are kasvu bizbizu, they write, and then they throw it out, they spend lavishly, they're extravagant in what they send out. Now, that's a mnemonic for those three halachas, which are, the first one is that when someone's ban of a benais of a kshen ketanim, when one's children are young, then we said takanas usha is to feed them. The second one was kasvu, that if a father writes all his assets off to his sons, that the sons still have to support his father and mother. And the vizvizu was, if someone's mevazviz, he shouldn't be mevazviz, yaisi mechemish, for tzedakah. And now, a person won't get confused which one had three amarim, which one had two, and which one had one, because if you go in that order of this mnemonic, that this is what children do, they write, and then they mevazviz, you'll know the order that ketanim was three, kasar was two, and mizbizu was only one, was Rebbe Eloi himself. Now, continuing on this idea of takanas usha, now from a different amarim, Amar Rav Yitzchak, he says, Be'usha iskinu, in this place of Usha, the Sanhedrin was misakin, she'ehod miskalgal im benoy, that a person should, it literally means rolling, which is a technique someone does with a challenging person, that a person should roll with his son. If his son refuses to learn, so you should roll with him, roll with that in easy way and with easy, soft words. Ashtai Mesrishan, until he's 12 years old, don't come down hard on him. Now, mikan v'yelech, yerdim alechai, but after 12 years old, then you go down to his life. In other words, that you can come to him strong with a strap and to hold back bread from him, to come down strong. But up until 12, you don't come down strong. Now, that the Gemara asks, in, is that really so? That was at the Kanas Ucha? But va'amr le'rav, le'rav Shmuel Bar Shilas, Rav told Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas, who he was a teacher of young boys, that he told him, Batsumi Bar Shis Leitekabel, don't accept a student that's under the age of 6. Now, Bar Shis Kabel, but when a student is 6 years old, then you could accept him into your class. And V'safu Leiketura, then you can stuff him like an ox, meaning you could stuff him with Torah like an ox, meaning just like an ox, that they would do what's called Oivisinaisayamaltehu, they would just open up the mouth and they would force it open, they would stuff food down. That's essentially, metaphorically, what you could do with a kid is that you stuff Torah, you keep on stuffing Torah down. Now, that contradicts, because that seems to be from age 6, and yet you're saying Takana Susha is only from age 12 that you can force him to learn Torah. So the Gemara says, yes, it's not a contradiction. Safalekitur, you stuff him with Torah like an ox already at age 6. Mi, you ain't a yerid amar l'chayiv, but you don't come down hard on him to take out the whip and to hold back certain to do types of negative reinforces, ad lachar shteim eseshon, until when he reaches 12 years old, then you could come down hard. So that's not really a contradiction in terms. V'ibay seima, or the Gemara says that loy kasha is not a difficulty, because ha lemikra, Rav, that he was talking about, it's the age of 6, was talking about for chumash, for reading from the chumash, that's something that you could already come down hard, and that's expected from a child when he's 6. But ha, the Mishnah, Takanas Usha, that says you can't come down hard on a kid until he's the age of 12, was Tumah for learning Mishnah. For that, you can roll with him. You shouldn't expect him to have been there until age 12. Dama Abaye, like Abaye said, that Amali Aim, my mother told me, and actually, as this is mentioned many times throughout Shas, it wasn't really his mother, it was his nurse, because his mother died when he was born, that his mother said, Bar Shis Lemikra, when a child is 6 years old, then they could learn Chumash. Bar Esther LeMishnah, when they're 10, then they learn Mishnais, which, as Tosfos explains, that's when they start learning, and Yoridim Oilechayev is only at age 12. And Bar Tleiser LeTanisim Eisleis, when the boy reaches 13, then they can fast for the full 24 hours of the fast, meaning to fast the whole day. And whereas what's called Chinuch, which is you only fast a certain amount of hours, that's for the 2 years before that, as the Gemara says, Mesechtes Yuma, and Daf Pei Beis. Whereas Ubetinaikis, but regarding a girl, where they have more stamina and energy than a boy developmentally, because they don't get weakened from learning Torah as boys do, so Bas Tresa. So then they already start from age 12. Now Rashi points out, the age 12 that we're talking about over here means in the 12th year, meaning what we call age 11, because we call the year after it's done, which is the 12th year is actually when we call the child 11 years old. And the reason is because if it meant 12 years and one day, which is what we call 12, that already is biblical, because that's the age when we consider a female as a gedolah. She brings two sirus when she's already age 12, which is already, she's obligated in all the halachas of the time. We wouldn't need the mother of Abaye to tell us this halacha. So rather, Rashi points out that it means to say what we call age 11, which is in the 12th year, then already she already fasts the whole fast, because she already reaches that strength that a boy only gets of the year later. Now, Amar Abaye, another statement from Abaye that Amar Li Aim, that my mother told me, Hai Bar Shis, this 6-year-old, Ditarka Li Akrava, that if a scorpion bites him, Beyoyma De Mishlam Shis, at the day when he finishes his 6th year, Loi Chai, he's not going to survive from that bite, unless with a specific type of a therapy. And Maya Susa, what's his healing? It's Merursa, it's the Mora, it's the bile, Didayichivarta, of a white vulture, Beshikhar, together with beer. Which what you do is, you neshafye, you anoint the child with this, evenashkiye, and then he drinks it together with the beer. Similarly, Haibar Shata, a 1-year-old child, Ditarikle Zibur, if a bee bites him, B'yemid Mishl Mishata, on the day when he finishes his first year, Loichai, he's not going to survive. Maya Susi, what's the only way he could be healed, is Atzvasa de Dikla. It's the vine that grows around a date palm, similar to what grows around a grapevine. B'maya, together with water, and again, the Shafi and the Shakya, you smear him with this, and then you make him drink it, and then he could be healed. Now, continuing the discussion we mentioned in before regarding bringing up one's children, so Amrav Katina, he says, Kalamachnes es benoi. Whoever brings up his child to learn Torah, pachis mi ben sheish, or under the age of six, then Ratz Acharav is going to be running after his child to make him healthy and to have him to be strong, and he'll never reach him, meaning because the child's always going to be in danger of dying because of his great weakness, because Torah is something that takes a lot of energy. And if you start so early, it can be dangerous to the child's health. Actually, Igadam, and there are those that say a different version of this statement, that Chaveirav Ratzin Acharav, his friends will be running after him, meaning because they're going to want to try to be as great and as intelligent in learning as him, Vein Maginos, and they'll never reach him because he's always going to be better in learning than his friends because he started so early. Now the Gemara actually says, V'tavayu isno. Actually, both of these statements are true, because Cholesh V'gamar. He'll be weak because he started so early, but he will have been a bigger Talmud Chacham because he started so early. Or Ibayisim, or the Gemara says that they're true, but not because they're by the same person, but rather because Ha the Chachesh. This that we said that you should not bring your child to learn under the age of six because it's dangerous, because he might become weak and then die, is talking about that he's a weak child. Then developmentally, that's not appropriate. Ha, the Bari, this that we said that you should bring him to learn Torah because he's going to become so intelligent, is talking about a healthy child. So then, even under the age of six, to get him started early, he'll pick it up and he'll be a great Talmud Chacham. Now, continuing on the Takanas of Usha that we had been speaking about, Omer B'Yisrael Berchanina, he says, B'Usha Hiskinu. In Usha, they made a different Takana. Ha'isha Shemachar B'Nichse Melug. Regarding a woman that sells, makes a sale with her Nichse Melug. Now, the woman that comes into marriage, she generally brings in two types of assets. Nichse Term Basel, which essentially is the full rights of her husband. And then when the marriage ends, then she gets it back. And it's called Term Basel because she gets its ironclad, however it was that she brought it in, that's exactly how she takes it out. Then there's Nichse Milug, which is she doesn't bring it put into the Ksuba, it's considered her own properties. The Keren, the principal is hers, whether it fluctuates or if it goes up or goes down, that's her loss or her gain. But the husband eats the payers. Now, but let's say she sells it because it's her principal, she could do whatever she wants with it. It's just that the husband gets the utility. So let's say she sells the Karen, Bechaye Baila when her husband's still alive, Umeis, and then she dies. So actually, Habal Moitzim Yad Alekuchis. The husband can actually go and remove it from the purchasers. That meaning because when the wife's alive, the wife has the rights. But the husband who inherits his wife, the Rabbanan considered him, equated the husband as if he was a Lekeach, as if he purchased. Now, he was the first purchaser. When the wife at a later point in time in the marriage, who the Karen is really hers, when she sells it, essentially it was already sold to him. It's just that she gets to use the principal. Now, therefore, when she dies, he could go collect and say, well, this is really mine. I purchased it before you, so I get it back. And therefore, the husband could go ahead and remove him from the kuchis. Now, the Gemara brings a story related to these takanas ushas that we were mentioning up until now. Ashkichei Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef LeBevo. Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef encountered Bevo, Tavakoy Bochluso, who he was amongst a large gathering of people, de Usha in Usha. So Amale, he said to Bevo, Man Mori Deshmait de Usha. Who is this that we keep on mentioning, Takanas Usha? Who is the one that said the statement of the halacha of Usha? So Amale said to him, Rabbi Yosef Bar Chanina. It's a reference to Rabbi Yosef Bar Chanina. So Tanamenei, so he learned from him that Rabbi Yosef Bar Chanina was the one who had said this halacha of Usha, Arbon Zimnin, 40 times. And then it was compared to him as if he had it in his pocket, meaning he knew it so well that it was ready on his fingertips because he reviewed it 40 times to make sure it doesn't forget. Now, getting on this theme about one's children, taking care of one's children, which that's the topic of our Mishnah, we mentioned a few different Gemaras regarding that. The Gemara brings a pasuk in Tehillim that says, Ashrei Shemi Mishpat, praiseworthy is someone that safeguards justice. Eisit Tzedakah B'Chaleis, he does charity at every moment. So the question is, can you do charity every second of the day? How is that possible? So Doshu Rabbi Seinu Shabbi Yavne, so the rabbis in Yavne expounded, and some say there was Rabbi Eliezer, It's a reference to Zehazan Banav Benoisav Kishen Gitanim. It's a reference to someone that supports and feeds his sons and daughters when they're minors, which a person's busy with his children day and night. And that's a charity which there's no obligation, as we said before. Father does not have to support them. And that was what the Tarkanus Usha is. So that's a tzedakah, b'chalei, is taking care of one's kids. B'shmul ben Nachmeni, he says, Zeh ma'gadol yasam b'yaseimah b'teich beisai. This is a reference to someone that brings up a male and a female orphan in his house. Umasian, and he marries them off. That's a constant tzedakah that you're doing all the time because that you're bringing them into your house is a full-time tzedakah. Related, the Gemara brings another pasuk in Tehillim that also something that can be that's everlasting. Hayim va'isha b'veisai. Wealth and money is in someone's house, which what that means in someone's house means to say that the money does not get used up. It's rather someone can hold on to it. It's in his house. And in spite of it, it's kasa men slot, the charity will withstand for someone forever. So how could it be that you're holding on to what you have, but at the same time, it's considered tzedakah? So Rav Huna and Rav Chisda, they each given their interpretation in this pasuk. Chad Amar, one says, and they're both saying the same in the same vein, that Zeha Loimed Torah Malamed, this is a reference to someone that learns Torah and he teaches it. So the Torah is sustained by the person, so he has the wealth in his own house, and you still have its custom and lot for the fact that he exerted himself to teach to others, so that learning of Torah is, he keeps the wealth, but at the same time he's sharing it with others, so it's a tzedakah and it's lot. V'chadam, one says that Zeha Kosev Torah Nevi'im Uksuvim, it's a reference to someone that writes Sifri Torah and of Nevi'im Uksuvim, U'mashin Lachem, and he lends it to others. So the svarim are his, he owns the svarim, they don't get used up, but the tzedakah is a man's lot because people are using it. So he's continuously doing tzedakah with it. Another pasuk in Tehillim, the Gemara expounds, is Urei Vanim Levanecha, that you should see sons for your sons. Shalma Yisrael, that's peace amongst the Jewish people. So Amir Shemalev, he says that Kibin Shebanim Levanecha, once your sons have sons, is Shalma Yisrael, then there's going to be peace for the Jewish people. Because then they're not going to come to difficult situations, which can be the antithesis of Shalom, which is to have Chalitza and Yibum, which is that the brother-in-law has to marry his sister-in-law, which can be challenging, but now that they have kids, that there's no Yibum Chalitza, which is only for someone that died without any children, it's going to be Shalom HaYisrael. Rishmo Banachmeni, he says, Kivin Shabon Levanecha, once your sons have sons, is Shalom Al Dayani Yisrael. It's going to be peace for the judges of the Jewish people. Because then the litigants are not going to be fighting to say who's a closer relative, who gets the part of the inheritance first, because we know when there's children who gets it, but when there's someone that dies without any children, so there are others going to be claiming that I get that share, and therefore, if there are already grandchildren, that's Shalom Yisrael regarding the inheritance. Now the Mishnah said that Zem Midrash Darish Rebelaz Lefnei Chacham Nuchul, that this halacha, the one halacha Mishnah said, that a father is not obligated to feed his daughter when he's alive, was a drasha that Reb Elazar had expounded upon the day that he became a nasi, which he expounded the terminology in the ksuba, where there are two takanas in the ksuba, that there's an obligation that the husband tells his wife that don't worry, your sons will inherit, and your daughters will be fed, where he expounded that just like the son inheriting is only after the husband dies, so that the daughters being fed is only after the husband dies, but not when he's alive. Now we continue to Amud Beis, where the Gemara brings halacha that hinges on this halacha, that Yosef Rav Yosef Kamed Rav Nuna. Rav Yosef was sitting in front of Rav Nuna. But Yosef Rav Nuna became and Rav Nuna was sitting, and he was saying the following halacha. He said, "Kishem she'en habanim yoshin elim in akarku," just like sons, and he's taking this parallel that was said in our Mishnah, which we just quoted, and he takes it a step further. He said, just like sons do not inherit, the only inheritance they get is minakarka, is from land. Kach en abundas nizaynis ele minakarka. So too, when the daughters are fed, at least when the father dies, to be fed from the state, it's only from land. They cannot collect for their food from movable properties. So the Gemara says that avash alei kule amas. Everyone started screaming at Rav Amnuna. Now, as Rashi explains, Rav Amnuna did not explain when he said that this that the bonama yarshin is only from karka, that he was referencing to what's called ksubas benin dechron, which we're going to explain shortly. That's the husband writes in the ksuba to his wife that when I die, then your sons are going to inherit your ksuba. Now they thought that he was saying in general, what sons inherit, that they only inherit karka, not metaltlin. So everyone started screaming. The Shavak Arahu Diyarti Le Bane, so if a man dies and he leaves over land, only then his sons inherit him. But to Le Shavak Arahu Diyarti Le Bane, but if it, let's say, leaves over storehouses full of metatlin, let's say, of produce that are detached from the ground, then his children do not inherit him. What are you saying? What are you saying that the daughters only get fed from land, just like the sons only inherit land? So Amalei Rav Yisuf, Rav Yisuf said to Rav Nun, who he was sitting in front of, he said, V'dilma ksubas benin dichrin kamamar, maybe the master is referencing, when he says that the sons only inherit land, he was referencing to the ksuba of the male sons? Now, as we explained in the previous daf, where Rashi explains here too, is that there are two takanas mentioned in the ksuba, that the chacham were mesakin, that are conditions in the ksuba, which we learn that one from the other, which was the drasha of Belaza that we just quoted now, which was said in our Mishnah. Now, what's called ksubas benin dichrin is mentioned in the Mishnah later on, of Tzadik Aleph and Aleph, that's only collected from it's not collected from metaltlin. As the Mishnah there teaches, Reb Shimon says that even if there's nechasim she'ein lehem achrayis, which is metaltlin, that's nothing until there's nechasim to have achrayis, which is karka. Moreover, besides the fact to allow them to collect from ksubas benin dichrin, there has to be additionally, there has to be left over at least a dinner besides the two ksubas of the two wives collecting. Where there, the Gemara there explains the halacha of ksubas benin dichrin, where Rashi here quotes that over there. And as the Mishnah there says, which is the case that Rashi is referring to, if let's say there were two women married to one man, and the women died, and then the husband died. Now generally, a woman only gets her ksuba when the husband dies first, or he divorces her. But if they die first, then there's no ksuba for them to collect. However, the orphans of each wife wanted and was requesting the ksuba of their mother. Now, the reason for that, why they would want to collect each one individually, their mother's own ksuba, not just share it all together as a regular Yerusha, is either because one of their mothers, let's say, had a larger ksuba, or even if they were the same amount, sometimes one of the woman's children are more than the other ones. So the ones that have less children, they want to have their mother's own ksuba so they could divide amongst them. They're going to get a larger share. Now, what happens is that each one has a right to claim their mother's ksuba. And the reason for this is because one of the tenayim of the ksuba, the conditions, is that in the ksuba, it's written that ksubas benin dichrin, the husband writes to the wife that he's getting married to in the ksuba, he writes, your male sons, the havelechim inay that you can have from me, inun yartin kesav ksubasach, they will inherit the money of your ksuba. Now, so as Rashi explains, what the Gemara there is talking about, that if there's at least a dinner additionally left over besides those two ksubas of these two women, that each of the orphans are going to collect their mother's ksuba, so that you could have at least the biblical halacha of nachla, of Yerusha, besides what their mothers what they're collecting in the mother's ksuba. So then they take their mother's ksuba and they take their mother's ksuba. But if not, then they'll actually have to split it equally according to the amount of each person, about each head gets a fair share. The reason being is because where it's going to be uprooting the Yerusha Deiraisa, then the Rabbanu did not make the takana of ksubas benin dichrin. Now be that as it may, Rav Yisuf was asking to Rav Amnuna, maybe when you were comparing the mezoinus of a daughter to the Yerusha of a son, that the son only inherits karka, maybe you were talking about the tnai ksuba of ksubas benin dichrin, that there the inheritance is only from karka and not from a tatlin. And that's what you were comparing to the other tnai ksuba of the daughters getting fed after the father dies. That omalei, so Rav Amnuna said to Rav Yisuf, oh, mar de gav rabahu, you, the master, that you're a great Talmud Chacham, you knew what I was talking about, that you should not learn out the mezainus of the daughters from the Yerusha of the sons, but what type of Yerusha? Only Yerusha ksubas benin dichrin, because both of them are similar, and that's what the drasha of Rabbi Elazar in our Mishnah was, because they're both tanai ksuba. And therefore, just like ksubas benin dichrin is only from karka, so too the mazan of the banis after the father dies is only from karka. Now, continuing on this theme, however, Reb Chiya bar Yosef, he says that Rav Zan Mechita Delia. Actually, Rav, when female orphans would come in front of him and demand that they should get fed from their father's wheat, now the reason being is because there was no karka for them to collect from, only mitatlin, so actually Rav would give them from the father's wheat of Aliyah. Now, Ibailu, the following question, that what is this that the Rav would give to these orphans? What was he giving them? Was it Parnasa Havya? Was it that he wasn't giving them Mezainis? Because actually, maybe Mezainis, as we just finished saying, one can actually not collect from a tavlin. You can only collect from a karka. But rather, he was giving them what's called parnosis nedunya, which is halacha that a tenth of the father's estate goes as a dowry for the woman to be able to get married, so that a man should want to marry her. Now, that actually is collected from a tavlin. Now, umay aliyah, now based on this interpretation, what does it mean from the father's wheat of aliyah? It means mi'iluya da'av. It means from that what's called ilui das, meaning based on the father's good intentions. Ilui means the best. Meaning we evaluate what would it be that the father would have been forgiving and giving to want to give to his daughter. We evaluate how much that would be. And that's how much we give to this daughter so that she could have a dowry to be able to get married. Okay, the Shmuel, and it's going like the halacha of Shmuel. The halacha of Shmuel, that Shmuel says, lefarnasa, when it comes to giving a single girl that's an orphan a dowry from a father's estate, shaman bi'ah, we evaluate by the father how much do we think of a vatran he was or how stingy he was. And if he would have been alive, how much would he have given? So if he would have given that amount, we evaluate that's how much we give to his orphan daughter. Now, as Rashi points out, since we're going based on evaluating how much he would have given, so then land and metalton is the same thing. The father would not have differentiated. And therefore, this halacha parnasa could even be metalton. So when Rav would give to the orphan females metalton, maybe that's a reference not to mezainis, but rather to parnasas nedunya. Idilmo, maybe mezaini mamashabo. Maybe actually, it was a reference to actual food. Now, as we pointed out before, although that we said Tanai Ksuba is like a Ksuba, and a Ksuba could only be collected from a Tatlin, and the reason being is because whoever relies on the Shtar is only on Karka, and because that's something that is there, whereas the Ksuba, which is a document, you don't rely on a Tatlin, so why would Rav have allowed the Yisaymis to go ahead and get their Mezainis, which is like part of the Ksuba, to get from a Tatlin, from their father's wheat? That's because Rav held like the Takanas Aliyah, which is why the term Aliyah is over here from Chiti Aliyah, which is that's why it has that term. Now, as Igmar explains in my Aliyah, according to this interpretation, what does it mean Aliyah? It means Medvarm Taivim Shenemar Ba'Aliyah. It means from the good teachings that were said in the attic, in the upper story. That's a different interpretation of Aliyah. Because the Amar Vitzel by Yasef, he says Ba'Aliyah Hiskinu, in the upper story, it was instituted by the sages, that the daughters should get fed from a tatlin and not just from karka. So which one was it that Rav had done? Did he do it for only parnasas nedunya, where Shmuel says that could be from a tatlin, or was it for actual mezainis, as we find by Tekanas Aliyah, that they allowed the feeding of the daughters to be even from a tatlin? So the Gemara says, Tashema, come in here, will prove that it was actual mezainis. Because biyadei derabanoi, that there was in the hands of Rabbi Noi, who was Achud Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, who was the brother of Chiya Bar Abba, that have metatlin the yasmi, that in his he had in his domain the movable properties of orphans, and aslu kamei de Shmuel, so they came in from the Shmuel because the orphan said he has our father's metatlin, we want to use it for us to get fed. So Amalei, so Shmuel said to him, Zilzan, go ahead and feed them, go feed the daughters. No, so the Gemara says, my love lemezaini, what does it mean to feed them? Isn't it talking about for actual sustenance, for their meals? So you see that people practiced that halacha, and that was what Rav was doing. Rav, when he gave chita aliyah, it meant from the dvarm shenemer ba'aliyah, which was to give actual mezainis, even from a tatlin. And I think Mar says, no. Hasam lepanasahavi, that was actually for the dowry. Shmuel tamei, and Shmuel goes according to his reasoning, where we just mentioned him before, Damar Shmuel, that Shmuel says, lefanasa shaman bi'av, regarding the dowry, we evaluate by the father how much he would have wanted to give. That's how much we give to his single daughter. And again, that is no difference for that, what the father would have given from Karka Metatlin. That's why that could even be given from Metatlin. Now, continuing on this topic, the Gemara says, Hava uvde ben Arda, that there was such an incident in Arda, v'dan dayana de Narda, and that the judges of Narda went and they judged that they should feed the daughters from Metatlin. Similarly, there was a story of Bepumbedisa, and the Agver of Chana Bar Bizna and Rav Chana Bar Bizna collected for the daughters that were the Yusaimim, even from a Tatlin. Now, Amalu Rav Nachman, said to them, no, Zilu Ahadru, go ahead and give it back. And V'ilai, if you don't give it back, meaning because this was wrong that you were taking for the Yusaimim from a Tatlin, if you don't give it back, Magvina L'chula Padnaichu Minaichu, you the judges, I'm going to go ahead and collect from your mansions to repay the one that you took the metalton away from. And the reason is because, as we said, that the mezainis for the yisaimis is only from karka, not from metalton. Continuing on this, the Gemara says, Amid Rabasi, Sava Lameza Matatli, they thought to feed the female Yisimus from a Tatlin. But Amal Hu Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi says, Milsa Rabbi Yechon Mishlakish, Avda Ba'uvda, something that Mishlakish and Rabbi Yechonan didn't do to collect for the Yisimus from a Tatlin, Atun Avda Ba'uvda, now you want to go ahead and do that? Similarly, Rabbi Laza Sava Lameza Matatli, Rabbi Laza thought to go ahead and feed the Yisimus from a Tatlin. Amal Afan Rabbi Shimon Ben El Yaakov, Rabbi Shimon El Yaakov told him, look, Rabbi, my teacher, I know that you're not doing it according to the law. Rather, you have mercy on these poor orphan girls. They have nothing to eat, so you want to collect from the Metatlin. Now, I get where you want to be merciful. But maybe the students are going to see what you're doing, and then they're going to establish that to be the halacha for future generations, and that's wrong. It's not the halacha. And therefore, you can't do that to give the assignments from Metatlin. Gemara brings Ahuda Asla Kameh Rav Yosef. There was someone that came in front of Rav Yosef. And Amalahu, so he said to them, meaning regarding feeding the Yisaimais, Havulo Mitamri Dal Budya. Give her from the dates which are on the mats, which that's something that's seemingly Metatlin. Now these mats were those mats that they would put under the date trees when they would harvest the dates. So he said, give her from those dates that are on the mats. So Amalah Abayas said to Rav Yosef, if this person that you're saying you would give him the dates, if let's say that person was a creditor, would the master have awarded a balchayv, a creditor, from the dates that are on the mats? In other words, even if you're going to make the female orphans as great as a creditor who has strong power in collection, that they could even collect from a shabadim, from indebted properties, they cannot collect from a tatlin of Yisayim. Now here you go and you're feeding the female orphan daughters who they're weaker than the Baal Chayv because they can't even collect from a Tatlin and you, from a Shabadim, from properties that are indebted that have been sold to other people. And here you're going to give them a Tatlin from Yisaimim, which you, meaning her brothers, which you would not have done for a creditor, which a creditor seemingly is stronger than the Yisaimim. So Amalei, so Rav Yosef said to Abaya, the Chazi Labudda Kamina. What I meant to say was that those which are fit for the mats, meaning that they're close to be harvesting, but they're still connected. You're right, Metatlin, you don't collect for Yisaimus, as we've been saying all along. Only which that's karka, which something that's connected to the ground on the trees is still considered as karka. I meant those which are going to be on the mat soon, that is what you should give to the girls. Now that the Gemara continues the top of Nunalv Medalv, but Saif, that's still problematic. Because kolo imid lagazes kagazes dami, anything that's standing, that's ready to be cut off, is as if it's cut off. In halacha, we view it already as it's off, and therefore it's already considered as metatlin. So if he's saying that it's ready for the mats, it's about to come off, so then it should be the halacha like metatlin, and therefore the yisaimus should not be able to get it. So the Gemara says, no, the tzricha ledik lekamina. It's going to be on the mat soon, but it still needs the tree, and therefore it's not ready to be cut off. That's the type of fruits that I was saying that you should give to the girls, again, because that's the halacha that was saying that it has to be karka and not metal.